the bass is kicking loud. Neighbors wanna complain cause the music leaks into the house.
Congratulations. You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
We have had some listener feedback this last week.
To never talk over each other.
It's going to be... it's
going to be really hard.
I'm going to have
to... not do that. Talk over each other. You know what I mean?
I'm the one getting the damn emails and phone
calls.
You
love it.
All right.
No, it's good. It's good tips.
So here's the deal. I think it's very funny that last week's episode was a ramble because I've met like important podcast luminaries and they asked about the podcast and if they listened to the most recent episode.
Shit, man, really?
Yeah. So I was like, go back to episode 18.
Which one's that?
I think that's the treasure room when we went to the international. That's still my favorite episode.
Yeah.
Okay, point is... a little bit in local, more, well, we're just still doing what, this is what we do. We're the Bay Area Arts and Culture Podcast.
Yeah, all right. Fine.
The Eastside Arts Alliance, I just found this out, is trying to create a Black cultural zone in East Oakland. I think similar to like different heritage districts around San Francisco.
Like the Filipino Heritage District in
yeah,
SoMa.
Yeah, or like 24th Street corridor and all that. So I just wanted to put that out there. If you want to sign up for the mailing list to get information about this, their website is eastsideartsalliance.com. And you can see a little video about it. And their Malcolm X Jazz Festival is coming up this summer. So you can get all that information on there. I just wanted to put that out there right at the top.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
And then another real quick thing before we get into the juicy, gossy, the hot goss.
Hot goss. That is fucked up. I need to be a really funny t-shirt. Hot goss. G-O-S-S.
We got a little bit of other listener feedback besides the
I'm
cyber.
I'm going to make you like a muscle man like tank top that says hot goss on it.
For me?
Yeah.
No, thank you. We have a little one other note. Last week in the ramble, we mentioned that Compound is having their 8th anniversary, and that is definitely true. I believe it is not on the 8th. It's on the 7th.
That's too bad. We were so excited about the 8, 8, and 8s.
I know. I think we got a little too excited.
They were like, that was nice of you, but it's actually the wrong date.
May 7th, be there. If you go on the 8th, people will be there to talk to you too, but you'll miss the party. Anyhow, okay, let's get right down into brass tacks here,
Maymay. Let's
get
right down to it.
Go for it.
So this week was a crazy one. There were lots of art events taking place, lots of openings, lots of big...
this was like the biggest
big
weekend.
Bashes.
There were conferences.
There were conferences. There were fairs. I mean, it was really outrageous.
Pretty much.
It was just truly outrageous. Whoa. Jam. Just kidding.
Wow.
Know what I mean?
That was a unique display. Okay, go on.
So there was just a lot of stuff going on, and I just still feel really tired here on this evening. Yeah, this weekend was just busy. I went to this event at the Alamo Draft House, which is the movie theater in the Mission.
Nope.
Which I have never been to before.
Me either.
And it was interesting to be there. It's a huge theater.
Enormous.
Huge. I couldn't believe it. That one's not up for discussion.
Well, I mean the Alamo Draft House seems like people were, that is being thought of as kind of like a gentrification, the like, you know, gay shame.
Yes.
They like had a poster about it that was like a mock movie poster about like,
oh, really?
Who's, you know, the devil coming to the Mission. And I'll put a link to it in the underworld.
Please do.
But do you not, I mean, you've lived here for a long time. You don't feel that way?
My feeling is that
they do have Lost Weekend video in there.
I have to say that it is a film house and they support things like the International Film Fest, and they have lots of art house films. And honestly, it's better than all the other shit that's opening up in the Mission right now, like restaurants and boutiques. It's like, at least it's like some kind of culture from my perspective. So it's just, you gotta weigh it out to what other crap is going on here, you know?
Yeah.
So that was Thursday night. Friday night, I went to SFOMA's Art Bash. Actually,
oh, yeah.
I volunteered at the Art Bash.
Oh, that was voluntary?
Well, because I actually couldn't go. I wasn't really allowed to go.
just as a human.
As like a staff member.
But you could work.
I wasn't given an invitation. No one invited me either. So I was initially perfectly fine not to go, but then I really, really wanted to see this performance by Rashad Newsome called Five. And so I was like, I'm going to do what I can to go see that. So I was like, people, can I volunteer at this thing? And they said yes. So I volunteered. I got to wear a walkie-talkie. And I was, performer support on floor five.
Wow.
Which is where the new, you know, the old cafe is. We saw some famous people chilling out, coming in early for the dinner, checking out the museum. It was really fun.
Rashad Newsome is gay, right?
I believe Rashad Newsome is gay.
Thank you.
Yes.
Let's always point that out.
I always want to point that out. He came out with, I think he came out with all of his dancers. So he had six people with him who were doing a performance based on the Vogue dance style. And it was fucking awesome. But what I didn't expect was that, so each dancer came out one at a time and did like a little solo Vogue performance, very short, with someone on, like an MC kind of, I don't know, almost scatting, but in like a, I don't know, it was a really interesting kind of like singing, scatting at the Vogue while they were dancing with like really loud dance music also happening. And on top of that, each dancer was paired with a live musician. So the first Vogue, for example, the first dancer was...
Vogue-ist.
The first Vogue-ist was paired with a flautist.
Also a strange word.
But that is the word.
Yes, indeed.
Which was so interesting. I was like, oh, we have a, like, so there was like a soloist, a flautist who was playing sort of improv-ing with the dancer or like as the person was dancing. And then there was another person who came out and dancing and their soloist was a saxophone and there was a guitar player and there was...
It's kind of like Peter and the Wolf.
It was really interesting. There was a drummer, like a full drum kit drummer, but also within each of these performances, there was always a man who was singing like choral singing. So it was a really, and it was all kind of under this other loud kind of dance music. So it was a really interesting like mix of sound and sight. I mean, it was really, really interesting.
And where was this located?
Oh, it was in the White Box
Theater. Is that the first one in there?
The first performance in the White Box? Yeah.
Wackadoo.
So the White Box is this sort of experimental
performance space. That's awesome to be the like, I don't know. Obviously, there's a lot of things going around about SF MoMA, but sure. I just think that's awesome because Rashad Newsome is... the shit.
He's, yeah.
That's cool to be the first artist in a space. I don't know.
Yeah, that Frank Schmigel is the curator of performance and film at SF MoMA, and he sort of did the introduction before Rashad Newsome came on. And
He's a tall man.
But he seemed, I mean, Frank has like a very calm, controlled sort of disposition or demeanor.
Oh, yeah.
But he definitely seemed very excited to be like christening the White Box with Rashad Newsome, and he seemed to be pretty happy about being able to use that space and experiment with what it will be used for, really.
Cool.
Which is cool.
That
was awesome. And a lot of people from so the Art Bash is basically an event that, you know, is for the arts community. I mean, you know, quote unquote with that, I guess, really, but.
A lot of feedback about old SF MoMA.
Yeah.
All kinds.
What have you heard?
Well, you got The Guardian was taking a real critical tack. I mean, lots of people have said that they love it. It's amazing. There's been like whatever Curbed SF has been like jizzing over it. But The Guardian compared the new architecture to like a deflating meringue.
Oh, that's okay.
They had a few other things also to say about the exhibitions. Mm-hmm. But everyone I've talked to here who's been there seemed like they were totally like awestruck by the building.
It seems like a lot of people are really excited about the building. I know there's plenty of people who are less than excited about the exhibition lineup.
Yep. Which we have right here in a handy thingy.
We here have what you might call an accordion map.
It is enormous.
Of the SF MoMA building.
So big.
There's how many exhibitions on the other side of that?
Look at the back. We've got soon because it's going to be like historical.
Oh my God, it's going to be worth
it. It's the first one of the new Mew.
Here we are talking over each other again. Damn it. I mean, it's crazy talk. 20 exhibitions in one space? I mean, granted, one of them is like a solo show with you in got just one Calder. Room. But yeah, go ahead.
You got Calder,
who I actually love. So
California and the West photography from mm-hmm. the Campaign for Art. What's that? Can you like encyclopedically tell me about every single thing in this bit?
I know that. No, I can't actually. I've barely had any time to be in the galleries because it's just been so busy.
You got your motherfucking open-ended painting and sculpture since 1900.
I think most people like who are listening to this, listening to this podcast are probably most interested in the 6th and 7th floors, which is where the more of the contemporary work is. From what I know.
6 and 7, you say?
I think 6 and 7.
German art after 1960 from the Fisher Collection.
Maybe not the 6th floor. Oh, well, sure, why not? But
typeface to interface.
Oh, yeah, that's the design.
Graphic design. Contemporary art by Jeff Koons. Your favorite.
My favorite.
Matthew Barnes. That is facetious, listeners. Well,
I think it's a flower vase, and I think it's right on the elevator landing, so I'm sure it looks great there.
Ugh. Matthew Barney.
Some like metal, like fuchsia metal.
Cindy Shermie.
Shermie.
All the hits. I don't know. I was talking to our research assistant, Katie Kondo, about this. And she was like, you know, if you're a kid or something and you want to be able to go see a Mark Rothko painting or something, you can see one now here in San Francisco. I mean, you could have seen one in Oakland this whole time, but like, it's nice to have our hits available to us right here in San Francisco.
There's more than just hits.
Right up. Ready?
Yeah.
I went to the cross sector conference. I went to only first two panels. The first one was whatever. And then the second one was the Rappaports.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddies over there who opened up Minnesota Street
Your
Project.
Shapeshifters.
And sure enough, I would like to give you a very autobiographical, personal, and expressionistic, if you will, description of the experience.
Okay.
I realized seeing Deborah Rappaport that I have met her before.
Oh, okay.
I think I saw her at like Southern Exposure.
Probably.
Well, and I was like, oh, I recognize you. And
you're like, and that means you're okay?
Kind of. I was really? Like, oh, maybe she's not. Maybe they're not so bad. And she spoke and she talked about, you know, galleries having to, you know, close down or whatever because their rent got too high. And I was like, okay, you're fine. I'm fine with this. And then Mr. Rappaport got up there and that just changed the whole situation.
Ooh, uh-oh.
And
did they talk about where their backgrounds were?
Yeah. Well, here's the deal.
Where their money is from.
Sure. Well, I want to also set the stage to say that there was a woman in the first panel from A Blade of Grass in New York.
Which is amazing because that was the title of a Halloween costume of mine ages ago.
So yes. You psychically like conjured that name and then they stole it from you.
Yeah, because I think I was in high school.
Sure enough. Well, point is, she was talking about her board and how they have to take money from the quote-unquote oppressor, but and she's like, you know, and it was kind of like, but I don't tell my board that they're oppressors, and it's like everybody laughed because everybody there is like other art admin people, whatever.
Yeah, we're all working for oppressors in some way,
right? So anyhow, so Mr. Rappaport gets up there and he makes a joke immediately about how he's like, I'm an oppressor, and everybody laughed because it was kind of like everybody was thinking it and he gave voice to it, I think, because he did go into how the tech boom has displaced so many people and that he was part of that because he was a venture capitalist for like whatever Eastern Star venture capital
firm.
Say
no more.
Right, exactly. And so he kind of took that on and like talked with, like admitted his part and whatever in that.
Okay.
But then he kept saying it over and over again.
Kept saying what?
That he was an oppressor. And
so that's just not funny anymore.
Right.
Like that word is not to be bandied around too much.
Exactly. And so the crowd, at least I felt, I was in the very back and, you know, I could feel all the people around me starting to get
uncomfortable.
Exactly. And kind of turn on him. And the more he said it, and he's like, you know, oppressors can borrow money for cheaper. Like, it's easier to get a loan when you're an oppressor and all this stuff. And
which is all true.
He was just trying to be funny, but it was like, dude, do you really understand oppression? Like, yeah. Do you really know what that's really means and really yeah. feels like? And
because right now it sounds like you think it's a joke.
Right, exactly.
Or after too many uses of the word.
And he brought up the housing crisis and kind of talked about how it's just a supply and demand thing. And the problem is that they won't build more housing, which I know you're not into that concept.
Well, and the problem is,
start
is like,
doing your Lamaze.
Listen, it's not just, I mean, yes, it's a supply and demand thing, but it's also like people's fucking lives. Like there's actually like a real, there's a real situation happening. It's not, I always
feel
like,
I don't just mean that it's, that he's putting it into a conceptual situation when it's actually like a real material situation. I also mean that like,
he's looking at it from his like high seed, like it's analytical market research, whatever, see, you know, like not this like on the ground, like what it actually is looking like, which is annoying to me.
It's not just that the government needs to like open it up and deregulate and make it so anyone can build anything anywhere. Like it needs to be a little more nuanced than that.
Come on to San Francisco if you want to do that, because our government doesn't give a fucking shit.
I think he would probably have a lot to say in against that, to be like, oh, it's so hard because of NIMBYism and blah, blah, blah.
He was.
Don't get your blood boiling yet. But God, I wish you were there. Anyhow, so the whole thing kind of took a turn. And
was Julia Bryan Wilson there?
Yeah, she was one of the responders for that panel.
Oh, my God. I wish I was there. I love her.
I know.
Did she like, what did she, I'm sure she was
very. She didn't exactly tear him a new asshole, but she did.
But she could have. Oh, boy, she could have. We all know it.
I kind of, yeah.
God damn it.
I kind of ducked out of there.
You did? You didn't wait for the response?
No, I heard Julia's response. And she did bring up that San Francisco historically was a place for queers and freaks and weirdos and so on.
Yes.
But, and then, I don't know. And the other respondent was from, like, the Haas School of Business. And so it was just like,
weird.
Just hearing, I don't know how artists go and do these things and be admin. And, like, it's, to me, like, seeing that side of it sometimes makes me really kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just because it's, like, just so clear how dependent we are on the wealthy and how everyone apparently is fine with that.
I don't think people are fine with it.
Well, we're all sitting around.
I feel like there's like some sort of like resignation to it.
Yep. And anyhow, so then set that aside. They had a great alpha horace.
Oh, yum. God, I haven't had one of those in ages.
So they were really good. Anyhow, also, so that was a pre-open engagement conference. And
you got
then,
anything? There's nothing more to say about that?
About the
Randall Quartz? Any other like points you wanted to make?
They ran out of cups at one point, but
no,
then they brought
not
more.
Not about anything like that. Anything that was said.
About the Minnesota Street Project?
Yeah, or like anything else.
They really went
other.
Into it and like showed spreadsheets and how much they spent, like tens of millions of dollars on that. And
are they expecting to get that back, or is that a tax write-off?
No, it's not a tax. I don't think it is a tax write-off.
Well, because they're doing a lot of below market rate.
Yeah, but that
stuff.
Doesn't mean that's not tax deductible because they're not a 501c3 or anything. They're just a commercial enterprise.
Yeah, but if you're, I mean, it's almost like making a donation, right? Like if you're, what is the
I don't
word?
Think so. I don't think that, because like if I sell you a cup of coffee that I bought for like, a, you know, that's below the price, I'm just being a bad business person. You know what I mean? Like if I sell you something for less than I bought
but
it
for. But I just
for,
have, I can't, I don't trust business people to be bad business people.
Well, that's kind of what the whole point of what they were saying was, so tell, is yeah. that like this is kind of like their retirement project, and it's kind of like their little, ooh, you're cringing. It's kind of like they are hoping to get their money back, but not for many, many years, and that they hope then that the return goes to their, you know, heirs or whatever, their next kindred people, and that then those people can take that money and then reinvest it again into the community, in quotes. So you are very suspicious of this. The listeners cannot see your face or gestures, so you're starting to seethe. You're turning red. Smoke's coming out of your ears. Just FYI. They showed all their spreadsheets, and they really got into cool. it. And they kind of
was that recorded? I'd like to rewatch it.
I think so, but you know how these things are. That will it be on the internet in anytime soon? Maybe not. I just got to say, I love Shani Jaxxie. I just love her, and
she's awesome.
Yeah, and I also have to say that both panels, I was there for the first two panels, and every single person was white, as far as I know. But
I tell you, this weekend really kind of blew it up in that regard.
Go on.
I don't know, just like I don't.
Did you go to open engagement?
I did go to open engagement. I went on Sunday, and
but they did have breakout groups, and they were all very. It was very diverse people that were like, you know, conducting the breakout.
God, you know, we should have someone else on the show who really went to a lot because I heard there was some on Saturday.
Yeah, I think we should have Fabiana Rodriguez posted a long screed against open engagement. Uh huh.
I didn't see any actions when I was there, but I was just there for such a short period.
Oh, and the adjunct. Yeah, the adjunct. Union groups.
Or even just like any protests around open engagement period. I
think those were the only actual on-the-scene protesters.
The adjunct
were for
unions.
The adjunct unions, yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as I know.
Yeah.
I was over there at Real Time and Space having a lovely bake sale fundraiser.
Sweet.
And the Black Salt Collective, this is a correction because I said their name incorrectly in the original upload, gave a talk over there at Real Time and Space, and it was standing room only. It was so full. It's like the most people I've ever seen at Real Time and Space.
That's awesome.
It was really cool.
So good. Yeah.
This week we have a contribution from Bonanza, Lindsay, Lana, and Conrad. Let's hear what they had to say out there at the Parking Lot Art Fair.
Coming to you live from the Parking Lot Art Fair, this is Bonanza. I'm Lana Williams.
I'm Lindsay Tully.
And I'm Conrad Guevara.
We're out here as part of Bonanza's first ever style report for Congratulations Pine Tree. We're going to talk about some looks that we're seeing. What are we seeing, Bonanza?
A lot of burner wear, a lot of U-Hauls.
A lot of sleevelessness, but also a lot of full sleeves.
A lot of black and red.
There's a jumpsuit contingent that's pretty strong here. Lindsay, what do you see?
I'm seeing a lot of patterns, some camo.
I am seeing a lack of hats. Wait, never mind.
I'm kind of worried about some people that they're going to get sunburned.
But overall, everyone's looking pretty good so far. A lot of, like, sleepy wear. I'm seeing a lot of lounge pants. Also seeing a lot of, like, yawning.
Yeah, a lot of tiredness here. It's 8:15 a.m., just starting. Everyone's finishing setting up.
Morale is high, though. Let's go get some interviews. Let's see what the people are wearing.
Yeah, let's see what people are wearing.
Bonanza here with Margaret Tedesco of Second Floor Projects, our neighbor in arms at the Parking Lot Art Fair 2016.
Yes. Margaret, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing a bunch of old Gap clothes I got at the Salvation Army years ago. This jacket I actually stole. I traded a jacket in. Yeah. I traded one in and took another one and left with it.
That scheme.
Salvation Army schemes.
Yeah. I like that you're in all black.
Yeah, I'm in all black except these old boots.
Mm-hmm. Brown
and
boots.
Brown boots. And what else? Oh, but then underneath, I have
this is a secret.
I have a very fancy t-shirt on that I got at the Mac sale.
Oh, wow.
And it's like that, you know, already ripped thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never buy shit like that. But I was like, okay, I'm going to buy this kind of like already ripped t-shirt.
It kind of looks like Benzaware, actually.
Oh, my God.
Benzaware. Oh.
Maybe we could get you do a full turn. We can see it all. Oh.
You're not experiencing this at home, but that was a full turn, maybe a turn and a half.
And then
very classy.
I have a striped t-shirt from that really crafty bitch store called Gravel and Gold.
Hey,
on Valencia,
shout out.
21st Street. And I got this years ago.
They have the boo pillows there.
Bonanza here, Parking Lot Art Fair. Another morning time interview with
Gold Manu.
Yay!
Tell us what you're wearing.
I'm wearing my polka dot scarf. I really, really like it. I bought it from a bazaar in Iran. It's not even sewn. And then I'm wearing yellow shoes. How do you describe
plaid.
That?
I'd say that's a plaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a yellow plaid.
Yeah, right. I have an orange flower.
You're very colorful. We're really enjoying your colors today. There's a lot of people that are monochromatic.
Way to stand out.
Yeah.
Thank you so
loud
much.
Loud and proud.
Thank you. And say your name one more time, full, first, and last.
Golbanu Mogadas.
We're here with another magical art person. Who are you?
I'm Eli Thorne.
Eli, tell us what you're wearing.
I have a 1970s, late 70s mustard striped tank top on with some well-worn jeans and some boots.
Tell us about what's around your neck.
Looks like Mardi Gras beads to me.
Yes, across from us is a fraternity sort of space.
Contentious.
Yeah. Oh,
so wow. What'd you have to do to get those beads?
Well, I won't mention.
Lindsay.
Did you show your tits?
I suggested it, but I made him a little nervous, so.
Oh, good, yeah. good.
It's important that everyone here be nervous.
Exactly.
And it's an art fair.
Yeah.
So we heard you had an opening last night, right?
I did, yeah, at Royal Nonsuch.
Can you describe the opening in three words or less?
Nerve-wracking.
Okay, one word.
That's one.
Terrible, hyphenated. I'm sorry. Energetic and...
sold out, so sorry,
there you
y'all.
Go. Okay, you better...
can you describe the fashion here in three words or less?
A hodgepodge.
We are in a shipping container. It's full of black lights. Luca is here. Luca, what's happening in here?
Two words or less.
Courtney Johnson.
Perfect.
You know what? We're also excited about her show at Alter Space, where Bonanza will be presenting our runway show.
Our new line, Cabin Pressure.
Binza.
May 21st at Alter Space, where you can also see Courtney Johnson's work. It'll be the backdrop.
Synergy.
The glue that holds it together.
Breaking news. We have a Bonanza fashion emergency.
Fashion emergency.
Earlier, we spoke with Margaret Tedesco, and they forgot one of the most important items of their ensemble. What is that?
So in the mid-80s, I had this girlfriend, and she gave me these sunglasses I'm wearing. And what's magic about them is that they have rear-view mirrors in the sides of them.
Wow.
So I can literally see behind me. Like if a predator was coming up, I could catch them.
Oh, my God. You have eyes in the back of your head.
I actually do. So would you guys like all to try them
on? Yes,
please. Yes, and then you can see what I'm talking about.
When you think that Margaret Tedesco is two steps ahead of you, she's really four.
Whoa. Yeah, this is like perfect for women walking home late in the afternoon.
From happy hour.
From happy hour. And we are here with KQED employee Kelly Wayland.
Kelly, tell us, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing some jeans. I'm wearing a little vest here with pockets. You know, I'm a filmmaker, so have to carry a lot of things, lens caps, hair clips.
There's really a pocket for everything. It's amazing. Astounding.
I would like to point out the fanny pack, though, is not around the waist, but also dangling from the belt. A very interesting fashion move.
Similar to if you were late for a flight and you might have bags dangling from
you only get two personal items, so you should attach them become one big one.
Yes.
And then you can bring your lunch.
I'm always gaming that.
And it is currently 10:40 a.m. and we are standing with...
Dallas Holfeltz.
Dallas, will you tell us, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing the color green, traffic light green.
Perfect.
Seems like it was painted on.
Yeah, I've just been painting myself for the whole length of the show.
Alert! We are here with...
Nayeli Nub.
Willie Frick.
And we are noticing a lot of fashion coming from your car booth.
I'm wearing a shirt that we got at the dollar store to dress the mannequins.
They're also dressed in dollar store gear.
The mannequins are supposed to be moving to replace like manual labor, and they're always dressed up with like really goofy outfits, so we try to go find that.
Yeah, you know, Bonanza as well has been interested in these moving mannequins.
Yeah. Our Binza line looks great on a mannequin that moves and doesn't move, but also on real people. Can you tell us about her hat?
It was free. It was in the trash.
Wow, Freegans.
I think it says Sizzler or Giggles.
That's a giggle Sizzler look here at the Parking Lot Art Fair 2016. We are here with the incomparable Mr. Evan Champtown Reiser. What are you wearing?
Right now I'm wearing a blazer that I got on sale for like $15, but looks pretty nice.
Very nice. It's gray.
I was told by a famous British filmmaker that it was a very nice cut recently, so...
Oh, wow. Good. Tell us more.
Compliments.
Isaac Gillian, who just showed at Jessica Silverman Gallery, where I work. And I'm wearing 100% emoji pants, because I'm doing the art market fair across the street from the parking lot fair.
A contentious rivalry.
A very contentious rivalry. very similar audience, though, it seems like.
Very similar.
Yeah. Very similar. It kind of seems like your look is very interesting because you're sort of business on top and party on the bottom.
Yeah, a little swag underneath.
Yeah. I'm a power top and a casual bottom.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow. Reporting live from the Parking Lot Art Fair, a quote to end all quotes with Champtown Evan Reiser, proprietor of 100% Gallery, 300% Gallery, City Limits, and what else do you do?
Cuddy Limits, no, that's it.
This is Bonanza reporting live at the Parking Lot Art Fair. We have some breaking news.
Breaking news, Bonanza alert here.
Breaking news.
Our most recent interviewee, Dallas, ticketed by park rangers here at the Parking Lot Art Fair. Dallas, tell us what happened.
I was just being green and naked, and just painting myself green for the whole length of the show, but it got cut early due to the fact that I was green and naked, exposing my genitals on federal land. But the sidewalk, which is public, was like 15 feet away, and I would have been completely fine. And I asked the rangers, so it's okay that everyone's drinking around me.
Oh, don't say that.
And they're like, yes, it's totally okay.
Oh my God, wrong place, wrong time. Find a drink, bad to be naked.
Yeah, bad to be naked, but, you know, go get a drink. There's Mai Tais and tasty watermelon beers. And I feel like a watermelon right now.
And we got three models here, live ones.
These are our muses for our next fashion line, Cabin Pressure. Introduce yourselves, models.
Hi, I'm Robin.
I'm Jasmine.
I'm Barbara.
Okay, and can you guys just describe what you're wearing? It looks so good.
I'm wearing an off-white camisole, deep low V-neck, a little nip slip every once in a while, gold, bronze side, and then really tight-fitting black and blue and red bike shorts.
Ooh.
Fascinating look.
Jasmine's wearing a long black mesh Binza jersey dress with some light blue on the bottom, with a high slit above the waist so I can show off my shorts that are white and have a bit of black mesh pocketing. The pockets are extra long for your boarding passes.
Perfect.
Wow, what a look. And Barbara?
I am sporting a Binza crop. It's been cut.
Hand painted.
Some cooler colors, blues and greens. And I'm also wearing some royal blue spandex, very tight, high-waisted spandex.
They look so hot.
And you look amazing.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've had some comments from the crowd about outfits, including you guys looking amazing, that you are slaying, that everything looks very expensive. And then someone said fierce as fuck. These are beautiful comments to have. What a beautiful parking lot art fair we're having.
I think Binza might be the fashion winner today.
I think so. I think maybe I see modeling contracts in all three of your futures. We are here with
Laura Hyunji Kim.
Laura Kim is really fashionable today. Can you tell us?
And always.
And always. Can you tell us a little bit about your look?
My look today is I'm wearing screen static, kind of like an inspired dress from Meow Apparel. And I am wearing beads supported by the Jeffrey Augustine Sanko Foundation.
Local nonprofit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We've seen a lot of those beads today, actually. It's good to know where they're from now.
Yeah, they're organic, too.
They seem like a real hit here.
Laura, do you have any fashion tips for spring and summer?
For spring, I would go with floral, a lot of color, a lot of, I would say, Bonanza-inspired colors.
Blossoming,
always regenerative colors. I would say gift prints are in. I would say print all-overs are pretty much inspired and working towards the summer collection for, I think, any kind of fashion-forward person would know.
What are some fashion don'ts?
Don't wear Crocs.
And we are here with Sarah Tebow and Kate Nelson.
These two powerful artists in their own right and together form an amazing entity. What is that entity?
The Painting Salon. It's a monthly lecture series, nomadic. Two artists present each time, kind of talking about painting in the expanded field. ThePaintingSalon.com.
Join the mailing list, come to an event,
And I think we're proud to say that I think that these two are going to model for Binza in our fashion show May 21st.
At Alter Space Gallery. And we are currently looking for more models. So if you're interested, please send an email.
DM us, reach out.
I went to the art bash last night at SF MoMA. I decided to wear kind of a slip dress with spaghetti straps, and I felt completely out of place. No one was showing their shoulders or collarbone even. It was like fully clad all the way down the arm sleeves. People are, that's just not a part of the body that's okay to show at an art party, so.
Very conservative. I think people.
Consider yourself warned, yeah.
I think what's happening in the Bay Area right now is affecting the fashion. It's what true. Can we say?
Yeah. This is a shocking news update, and we are so thankful to have someone so brave. Thank you, Sarah Thibault, for reporting from SF MoMA.
Learn from my mistakes. Learn from my mistakes. Don't be a hussy at the art party.
Powerful words from Sarah Thibault, reporting from the SF MoMA party.
Thank you.
Signing off. Bonanza.
Bonanza. Parking lot art fair. Reporting live. Don't claim a block or the jacks, no, I just grew street smart. I don't ask for a hood pass, I never ask for a G-card. Sweetheart, till you cross me, turn rocky, dip you like Pocky. Turn that bottom lip to a jug, Balarossi. Get you laid down when you talk cheap, swap me. Took that aggression and poured it all out on the page. I've been locked away. What are your feelings about all the new shit going on out here in the Bay Area? Give us a call. New number, because my voicemail's been acting weird. So here's a different number than usual. 614-835-6592. Or to make it a little simpler, you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can just leave a comment on our website, congratulationspinetree.com.
You can also just come on and visit me for lunch. We'll have a chat there.
Over there at SF MoMA.
Yeah.
Go up to the 89th floor.
Just give a call. I'll come down and meet you.
From the bridge.
To the other bridge.
To the island in between. This has been
Congratulations Pine Tree.